League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Here are your hosts, David Gal and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
So those Madden rankings that came out, and they've listed...
Mad about Madden.
Well, everybody's mad about Madden and the rankings, and it's really quite a stir. We're going to hear from Keenan Allen later. He was pretty upset at being ranked, the 13th best wide receiver, which I thought was sort of a legitimate ranking for him. He's an exceptional wide receiver, but he was in a pool of guys who are really good. Aaron Rodgers ranked the number 7 quarterback overall. I thought that was low for Aaron Rodgers. I felt like he could have been placed higher. I mean, the way they ranked them, Rodgers was 7. Phillip Rivers was number 3. I think anybody would take Aaron Rodgers over Phillip Rivers right now.
Is the ranking, though, out of pure talent, or is it out of results as well? Like, what's around you?
Well, I think they're really looking at it from the Madden esports perspective about just the pure talent and productivity. So I really think Rodgers deserves better positioning. You know, when it all came out today, and Jose was party to this conversation, there was this feeling that since Madden ranking was such a big deal, that we need to do our own Madden ranking here at SB Nation Radio. What do you think?
Get out.
Yeah, no, we're gonna go up and down the whole roster of employees, not just the on-air personalities, but everybody. We're gonna rank them by position. We're gonna do it up, and we're just gonna see what it renders.
Thanks, Jose. This is how you're getting rid of me, right?
You got the franchise tag. We're stoked with for a year.
Yeah, we got the franchise tag. We applied the franchise tag. Woo! On Carla today. We couldn't come to terms on a long-term agreement, but I exercised the company rights to franchise you. And then if I do it again next year, it's going up another 120%.
Oh, yeah.
So these are pretty good terms here.
Okay, I'll take it.
I'll tell you what, I wish the real world were much more like that. I mean, I know the players don't like the franchise tag. They don't really want to get extended that way, but it's not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig.
Yeah.
You look at Kirk Cousins, he's the poster child for being franchise tag.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk NFL. We're going to break down what happened with Jadeveon Clowney, the Texans' decision. And we'll analyze, was it the right choice at this moment in time for the Texans and Clowney? When we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, in the dog days of the NFL offseason, it is interesting that contracts keep coming to the forefront. And Jadeveon Clowney and the Texans had a big decision here because...
By 4 o'clock Eastern today, it had to be made.
Today was the deadline, and the Texans chose to apply the franchise tag to Clowney rather than sign him to a long-term commitment. Your take? Was it a good decision on the part of the Texans?
Yes. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Because I like Clowney, but there is no reason for the Texans to take unnecessary risk right now to sign him to a massive commitment this year. When you have... You know, if someone asked me how long I thought Clowney had been in the league, I would say 3 years. He's been 5 years.
Yep.
But his first two, you know, he was so limited. He had the microfracture surgery on his knee, but he had, you know, 4 games 1 year, very limited the next year. In his 5 years in the NFL, he's only had one season where he's played a full 16 games, and he's never had a 10-sack season yet. And that's with a defense that consists of J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless.
Yep.
So I love Clowney's talent. if I'm the Texans, I want to see more consistency before I commit a big deal to him. And I don't have to commit it this year. That's what the tag is for.
Consistency is a point you made. And there are stretches of games when he tends to disappear. Now, when he makes the plays, he's spectacular.
Oh,
the athletic talent is extraordinary.
They're highlight reels.
Speed to get in the backfield. They are highlight reel plays. But then there will be stretches where you just don't hear his name.
Or you hear neutral zone infraction.
Oops.
Yeah,
yeah,
which was more than once last year. Very frustrating.
Right.
So I think that this, you know, I know he doesn't like this. I think they were very, very far apart in the number that he wanted, the numbers the Texans were willing to give him. But, you know, although I don't love the hierarchy that's going on in the Houston Texans right now with this no GM, you know, phantom GM and Bill O'Brien having, he's like the Roger Goodell of the Texans. He's judge, jury, and executioner,
well,
honestly.
Yeah, he is the de facto general manager. He is the head coach. And he's also going to call the plays on offense, which makes him almost like the OC as well. And I don't really know of anybody who has that kind of breadth and power.
No, but you talked about earlier this week, and I think it's important to note that this Jadeveon Clowney situation may be the reason the Texans don't have GM Brian Gain any longer.
Right. The report came out that Gain did want to sign Clowney to an extension. Bill O'Brien was very lukewarm on that idea, and they've obviously settled with this path as a franchise tag.
You know, what's tricky, I think, for Jadeveon, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, David, is that, you know, in the year that Clowney was drafted, it was also the same year that Khalil Mack was drafted and mm-hmm. Aaron Donald. And you look at those two guys who are, you know, two of the top four contracts for defensive players in the league. But you also look at their sack totals just as one stat. You know, Aaron Donald had 20.5 sacks last season alone. Khalil Mack, every year past his first year, he's averaged well over 10 sacks a season. And Clowney has yet to put in one season with sacks. And that's just, I know, one stat, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think what Clowney needs to do right now is show up at training camp, though he may not be obligated to.
Right.
He needs to show up at training camp, work out like a fiend, stay healthy, of course, and have a great season. And then everything else will take care of itself. If he is the person and the player that he thinks he is, and he is a Khalil Mack type talent, which he would like to be, just prove it on the field. Texans, from their perspective, I mean, today the view in town was a little bit, oh my gosh, the Texans are going to lose Clowney. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not at all certain. I mean, they've got him for this year. They can franchise tag him again next year if they need to. This is a team exercising its rights, which brings me to another one. So let's shift gears over to the Chargers for a minute. Melvin Gordon is a guy who was drafted in the first round, so he served the first 4 years of his rookie deal, but the Chargers exercised the option for the fifth-year option because he was a first-round pick, and the Chargers are playing this just right by the letter of the collective bargaining agreement, but Gordon's not happy because he's only getting paid about $5.5 million. And he, to me, highlights one of the problems with the current collective bargaining agreement because there is, in year five, as a running back, I mean, what's the lifespan of a running back?
It's got an expiration date.
I mean, and he's entering year five, and he really hasn't had the monster payday when he's only playing for $5.5 million, so he's considering sitting out. That has its own issues. Hypothetically, wouldn't get paid anything. But Gordon not happy. And the Chargers need him in the fold. The Chargers have a lot of the pieces. They've got a chance to make a deep run into the playoffs. And Phillip Rivers is 37. That window's going to close.
Mm-hmm.
They need to figure out something with Melvin Gordon. But I don't think the Chargers really want to do anything more than just exercise this fifth-year option.
And honestly, I don't think they should. I mean, I think where it gets tricky, where it gets a little bit gray, is that Melvin Gordon is their number one option at running back.
Yep.
You know, he is averaging 3-point-something yards a carry, which is not outstanding. But if that's your number one option, then that's what you have and that's what you take. I think what's really tough, and you would know better than me because you are a football guru, but the quarterback position is very, very unique. You have to pay your quarterback because who fills that spot if you don't? Running back is different. You know, you can... It's an easier spot to fill. Melvin Gordon is super talented. He's a first round draft pick. He's, you know, he's got a good life, but you're right. The expiration date for a running back is shorter than for a quarterback. And you have to take, if they feel like Phillip Rivers at 37, if he has a good year, they're going to have to pay him again.
Right.
And that's going to happen before they take care of a Melvin Gordon.
Well, and you look at the Rams, and they did jump in early and extend Todd Gurley. And then Gurley came down with the injury and really wasn't effective toward the tail end of last season. Now, we'll see what kind of condition he returns to play this year. But running backs are a really tough position to do this extension. I mean, you think about someone like Melvin Gordon, or we can shift to the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. These guys, mm-hmm. they're drafted in the first round. You get them for the four-year rookie deal, the option to extend in the fifth year. And then you can do a franchise tag, and you can do another franchise tag if you want. You have the chance to hold a first-round drafted running back for 7 years. That's basically his whole career.
Right.
And only in the
right.
last 2 years did he get Good paid point. Really well as a franchise tag guy. Now, Ezekiel Elliott is going to make over $9 million this year. So he's going to be fine. And he's doing it in the fourth year of his rookie agreement. He was drafted number four overall, so his slotting in the rookie pay scale is pretty robust. But he's not going to get paid out, or the Cowboys don't have to pay him out to any kind of big long-term extension for another couple of years.
No, and I don't think they should. You know, honestly, when you look at it, and I think with the running back position, it really is dependent on what your team's pay structure looks like. Like for Ezekiel Elliott, if I'm head of the Cowboys, I'm taking care of Dak Prescott first, because who do I have to replace him with? I don't see anybody that I like as well as him.
Quarterbacks don't grow on trees.
They don't grow on trees.
One, you got to find them, and two, you have to develop them. With running backs, you might be able to find them, but you don't have to develop them nearly as long as you do a quarterback.
Exactly. And besides his on-field, Dak Prescott's on-field performance, which I love, he's galvanized that locker room. I mean, he's from both sides of the tracks. He can relate to everybody. He's got a really unique situation. He's a great leader. I would take care of Dak Prescott first. Then I would go to Amari Cooper, my wide receiver, because that's where the Cowboys have been thin. I'd pay him. Then I'd pay Jalen Smith.
Hmm.
And then maybe even then I would think about a safety before I went to Ezekiel Elliott. He made $8.7 million last year. He's going to get almost $10 million this year. Dak Prescott has made $1.6 million in his career so far. Now, he was a fourth round pick, yes, but I don't know. Where do you come out on that? Do you think the CBA needs to change where the life of these rookies, their initial contract is shorter, especially at the running back position?
So what I would hate to see, and the CBA negotiations apparently have already started, although the CBA, the current CBA in the NBA and the NFL is intact through the 2020 season. So we've got two full seasons to go, right. But the conversations have already begun. What I would hate to see is that the players really, really push for and get shorter rookie deals. Let's take it to the extreme. If you took the rookie deal, which the standard deal is 4 years, and you shortened it to, say, two, and then these guys got to be free agents, well, that really even minimizes the impact of the draft, because part of the big thing about the draft is you're picking your players that you get to lock up for a long number of years. But if you shorten it and everyone's a free agent after 2 years or after 3 years, you've reduced the impact of the draft. You've limited the continuity of players on a team. I think there's something really healthy about having players with a team for a long period of time. So the players union might say, well, but then that's not right. We need our players to become free agents so they can get bigger paydays. I actually wouldn't change the structure. I would keep the same number of years. I would just pay them more during those years. There are two different questions here. One is the mechanics and the duration until you get to free agency. But the other is just what you pay them in the rookie deal. What was surprising to me in the last CBA is the rookie wage scale is pretty light. And everybody thought that was a good idea because there was deference to that 5 year, 7 year veteran guy who was getting paid on the short shrift, and these rookies who had never proved themselves were getting paid big dollars. So the fix to that was, okay, we're going to really limit the rookie wage scale, and we're going to allocate dollars to people later in their careers. But that really didn't happen. And so I think the answer is, let's keep the same structure as it is, the same timelines, but just pay them much more. You could even double the rookie wage scale. And then Ezekiel Elliott would be making, well, not $9.9 million as he is this season. It could even be 20. I'm not as focused on the total math. I want the math to go up for them in the rookie wage scale. I just don't want it that everyone can go and become a free agent in very short order, like 2 years. It would really change the dynamic of the NFL.
Interesting. I like that.
All right, when we come back, though, we're going to stay with the NFL. I'm going to ask you to explain this latest escapade from Richie Incognito. I mean, you have to explain all things Raiders, and Incognito had a bad day at a funeral home, and we will explore that and unpack that when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you get better parts, better prices every day. Got that, Carla?
Got it. Thinking, got it. Can't wait.
All right. Now, listen, we're back on the NFL, and you are the one who has to account for all things Raider Nation.
You are really going to make me do
that. Well, and this time, I think your back is against the wall, right? Richie Incognito. Look, the Raiders made a lot of offseason acquisitions, and some of them are pretty impressive and exciting to think what the Raiders might do. Richie
Trent
Incognito.
Brown, A.B.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some great new faces.
People.
But I was never impressed by Richie Incognito. I thought it was a strange hire. He took last year off.
Out of retirement. The Raiders got him out of retirement.
Okay, so that doesn't help the case
here. No, it doesn't. But I'm just trying to avoid you asking me the question, so we have to talk about it.
Now he's been suspended for 2 games without pay, which doesn't really get him off to a great start in Oakland. Yes, the NFL has suspended him because, well, he went into a funeral home where his father's body was being held, and he threatened to pull out a gun, get guns out of the car, and shoot employees of the funeral home if they didn't allow him access to his father's body. And the parent report is that Scottsdale police were told that the former Pro Bowler, Incognito, said he wanted his father's head cut off for research purposes. And so he was walking through the funeral home, punching caskets, throwing things, and threatening to go get his guns out of his car. Now, answer that, you Raider One. Oh, Obi-Wan.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, let's just state the obvious. He will be missing the first 2 games of the season,
yes,
which are against division rivals Denver and Kansas City.
Big time games.
So I think he's just taking his name in. Like, he is going to be incognito to begin the season.
Okay.
So I'm going to give him that. Okay.
Yes.
So
all
he
right.
is truly, you know, playing his role. Well, as for the rest of this, I wish I could say, I mean, it is shocking when you want your deceased father's head cut off. That's an odd thing to request.
You don't get out very often, do you?
Clearly not.
You haven't been watching Game of Thrones, clearly.
No, I am not.
You're still stuck just with The Bachelorette.
And even when I'm the most frustrated, like my Warriors not winning another championship, I don't have this urge to go into a funeral home and punch caskets. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's not the first thing that comes to my mind. But it could. I mean, I don't know.
You have not explained Richie Incognito.
I'm trying not to. I don't think there is an explanation, because except that you look at his history. And I want to be surprised that this is his behavior.
Right.
Richie Incognito needs some help. And I think that John Gruden knows this. And this did not happen. This funeral home incident, I think that's important to note. This happened before the Raiders picked him up. So since he has been a Raider, we haven't heard anything.
All right, we'll let you stick with that.
This is just post-punishment. I mean,
but you like Antonio Brown is a better pickup than Richie Incognito.
Oh, I love this baby. Yes,
right.
I do. I just think that, you know, he is a Pro Bowler. He is uber talented on the field, but his off-field incidents in the past, including the Jonathan Martin bullying incidents, it's not been pretty. This is very Raider-esque, but I do not want that to continue. I'm hoping better things for my soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders.
I just hope he doesn't miss any episodes of Hard Knocks.
Exactly.
Let's go to another boy.
He might be suspended for the first two. Who knows?
Yeah. Let's go to another bad boy of the NFL, at least today. New York Giants had to suspend their safety, Cameron Moore.
Jeez.
He assaulted a woman outside his home. It's a girl he'd been dating since May. He wasn't answering her text messages. I mean, she was writing him. They were boyfriend and girlfriend. So when he didn't respond to the text messages, she came to his house.
Uh-oh.
And found him with someone else. Always a difficult moment. And the two women had a fisticuff fight. I mean, they were going after.
He watched them.
Well, yeah, that's always a man thing.
Okay, stop. I knew you were going there. I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And at the end of the segment, I was going to say, I'm so proud of you not to do that. But
no, I don't know why men like.
Jose, help.
It's a famous Seinfeld episode. They had a long conversation about it. And remember, Kramer had the answer.
What's the answer?
Well, Kramer said that the reason why men like to watch women fight is because as they fight and maybe they wrestle around on the ground, all of a sudden there's a possibility that they just might start kissing. And that was the reason the men like to watch women fight. Now, don't put it on me. That was Kramer on Seinfeld. So that's almost as good as the gospel truth, right?
Jose, do you know this to be true?
I'm busy.
Don't here, take the fifth.
No. He doesn't want to.
I plead the fifth.
You're coming back from vacay with a fat answer. Give me an answer here.
Okay, I'll go on vacation and soul search and come back with an answer.
All right, well, so as it played out, his girlfriend was pushed to the ground, and then Moore jumped into the fight. So
what an upstanding dude, right?
Yeah, it didn't go well. So
he put his foot on her neck.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of pressured down, and then she got up and he punched her in the face, clenched fist, right in the face. What a not going there. But the Giants, now this credit John Mora and crew, they have not been fast to take care of this kind of business in the past, if you remember.
Right.
But they have suspended him indefinitely, and you know, it's got to be tough to be a Giants fan. I mean, right. They've had a lot. They let their top receiver highlight right. reel go to Cleveland. Eli Manning's at the end of his career. They drafted a quarterback from Duke with the number 6 pick. I mean, and now this, it's like, wow. And this guy was brought in. Cameron Moore was brought in to help the Landon Collins departure. And that's not helping.
No.
This is not helpful. Oh, boy.
Let me ask you a different question about the CBA. We were talking about it last segment, the collective bargaining agreement. One of the topics on the table is extending the regular season from 16 games on to 18 games. Mm. And, of course, the first reaction on the part of the players is, well, that exposes them to far more risk of injury.
And that's true.
More games, more exposure, more physical toll. And that's an issue. And so one counter to that was, well, okay, what we'll do is we will put a limit on the number of games any one player can play during the regular season. So the season might be 18 games, but no one is obligated or no one is allowed to play more than 16 games, which would really make depth an important part. You'd have to have a whole roster. You'd have to have, well, basically a second string that could go play and compete in those two extra games. But it raises all kinds of questions. I mean, we'd all be watching for at least two games a backup quarterback, and there aren't a lot of good backup quarterbacks we'd ever really want to pay to watch play right now.
I don't think there's 32 quarterbacks that we would want to watch to play right now, let alone their backups.
Well, there's a shortage of good quarterbacks, and when you look at the rosters of backups, there just aren't many out there. I mean, there's some intriguing names. Maybe you could look at these young guys who are drafted but who haven't yet gotten a chance to play yet. I mean, it might be fun to see Daniel Jones play, the new rookies who are drafted. I think Carl.
Do you think?
Well, we'll see. I'm a Cowboys fan, right? So it'd be fun to watch him.
Well, that's true. You do think that's fun.
Look, Kyler Murray's going to start right away. But, well, Dwayne Haskins might not start right away, and so he could be part of or get to play for those two games. But really, there aren't enough good backup quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater would be interesting to see. But really, on any given team, you'd be watching guys who you'd only want to see in the preseason. In fact, the whole proposal strikes me. It would be like saying, well, we're going to throw two preseason-style games into the midst of the regular season, and we're going to make them count.
How do we feel about preseason?
Well, yeah, that's right. Everybody wants to shorten preseason.
Wake me up when it's over.
Right.
Please.
Right.
Like, it's not fun to watch. I don't think it's a great product.
Right.
I love football, so I'll watch it, of course. But I don't think it's a great product. I think what's special about what the NFL does, it's a 16-game regular season as opposed to 162 in baseball, 82 with basketball. Yes, different sports. But I think it's special that when the season ends for the NFL, I mean, post Super Bowl, I'm wanting more.
Right.
And I think that's a great way to leave. I mean, they are having no problem making money. The revenue stream in the NFL is better than all three major sports. I mean, they're not having issues. And I know this is a money issue. I don't enjoy seeing players get hurt. I get tired of that. And it's just, it's not a great product if it starts to get watered down.
Yeah, it's not a money issue, but it's a money opportunity.
There you go.
Everybody wants more. They see more dollars available. One idea that has been floated around that I found sort of intriguing was, okay, there's 16 games. It could be 18 games. The idea was, no, let's make it 17 games. No limit on how many games you could play. So there would be one more game of physical toll on the players, but that extra game would be played at some third-party site in a big college town or in London or in Mexico City and a way to build more fandom. Interesting outside the box. College town, a big game in Austin. The Texans would play the Jaguars in Austin 1 week. And that would be the kind of idea to bring Austin fans into the fold of the NFL.
Interesting. You don't have me yet, though. I'm not going to lie.
Fair enough.
I'm not loving it. But
all right, we'll be back with the He Said, She Said segment on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, let's talk travel because most of us do a little travel throughout the year. And the question, of course, is how do you book your hotel rooms? Well, I've got a suggestion. You go to BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and extended these discounts to you. So go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, plug in your dates of travel, and voila, you'll get a great discounted rate for many of the hotels you would pay far more for somewhere else. Save your money. Go get your hotels at BestHotelRates.com.
Well, you may not see me next Monday because I'm using Best Hotel Rates.
Really?
I'm in need of a vacay.
Wow.
You've had a good one already. Jose just got back from one.
Hey, we put the franchise tag on you.
You can't just leave after you get paid.
Yes, you got your deal signed.
Gosh, dang, y'all are making it rough on me.
It wasn't a long-term contract like you were hoping, but...
No.
All right, we're at the He Said, She Said segment where we take a look at what sports luminaries have said and we dissect it, break it down. Let's start with Serena Williams. And what she was doing, she was responding to some point of view. In fact, I think it started with Billie Jean King, who suggested that Serena needed to increase her focus on tennis. And I guess the way Serena heard it was that Serena needed to pare back her social activism and focus more on tennis. Let's hear what Serena Williams had to say.
There have been a few comments made in the last couple of weeks that maybe you should stop being a celebrity for a year and stop fighting for equality and just focus on the tennis. How do you respond to that?
Well, the day I stop fighting for equality and for people like that look like you and me, it'll be the day I'm in my grave.
So a little backstory. I mean, Billie Jean King, who is obviously somebody who has been very socially active, she basically said that for Serena to win the remaining number of championships she wants to win, to really get back to the highest level. I mean, Serena got to the finals of Wimbledon, but to win another championship or two or three, Serena would have to scale back her schedule. And then Billie Jean went on to clarify later, she wasn't meaning social activism, she was meaning attendance at...
Well, she said the reporter's question was a two-part.
Yeah.
She said, you know, talked about being a celebrity, and that she needs to focus less on being a celebrity and on her social activism. So it was two-part. And Serena, it sounded like, addressed, I'm not backing off of the social activism, which I agree.
And Billie Jean was coming back to say, I would never want her to back off social activism. So anyway, they are both people who have been committed to social change, clearly.
Well, and you know, the U.S. Women's National Team for Soccer is right there with them. So it's kind of a nice trend. I like where that's going.
All right, let's go to Anthony Davis talking about, well, how he learned that he was traded to the Lakers.
And I was watching a movie, laying in bed watching a movie, and my agent called me, and, you know, in the middle of a movie, I don't really like to answer phones and texts, so I was like, I'll call him later. Then he called me again, so I did kind of like hit it, like, all right. And then I was like, wait, let me call him back. So when I called him back, it went straight to voicemail. So as me being a 26-year-old, I went straight to Instagram to start looking, and that's when I saw it. And I was like, oh, and I'm blowing his phone up now, and, you know, we finally talked and just kind of, you know, figured out what happened, and he was telling me what was going on. So,
IG is the OG. Gives him his answer. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, with Rich Paul orchestrating so much of this, I don't think it was a huge surprise.
No, I agree.
It was just probably the formal notice of what was now going to happen.
Well, it was a process that began in February when Davis demanded out of New Orleans. And it took until July to get it done.
Well, you'll hear now in this next, he said, she said, he talked about getting out of New Orleans and taking charge of his career.
I just wanted to take control of my career. You know, it was always, you know, people kind of telling me, no, we need to do this, we need to do that, you need to do this. And I just kind of like go with it. You know, I was, you know, young and I was like, okay, you know, I feel like this person has the best interest for me, whatever. And then as I started getting older and started getting more experience, I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to do it this way. And as long as I can, you know, sleep at night, you know, and live with the decision that I made, then, you know, I'm happy and I don't really care what no one else thinks. You know, I have a great team around me who I can talk to about, you know, things that's going on. And they give me great advice. And at the end of the day, you know, I live with the decision I make.
Well, good for him.
Well, when he says he wants to take charge of his career, what we're really seeing across the NBA is the players taking charge of the league, right? And players are deciding when they're going to go where, and they're talking to each other, and they're collaborating. There's, quote, collusion between players to go to a particular destination, as you saw with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So this is a new era in the NBA.
Quote, tampering? Not even quote tampering. I mean, that's what's going on.
Yes.
But what I do like about what he said is that, you know, when these guys, these rookies are coming into the league, I mean, most of them have been to college for 1 year.
Right.
You know, some of them a few years. And they do need, they're not businessmen. They don't know what's going on. But as they mature through the league and see more, I mean, he's 26 years old now, that he's starting to take back some of the reins himself. And good for him.
All right. Good for another player in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo. See, I got that name right. I always count on you.
Good. That was excellent.
I never say it the way you say it, though. The Greek Freak. It was fun. At a media event in Milwaukee, the whole topic of that fact that he's the MVP came up. And let's listen to what he said to the crowds about his being the MVP.
After this day, July 14th, please do me this favor so I can be better. I can be a better player. I can lead this team to a championship. Please don't call me MVP. Listen. Please, after this day, don't call me MVP, because until I win it again next year. So let's do it one more last time for this year, okay? One more last time, come on. MVP! 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 MVP!
I think he's beloved in Milwaukee.
As he should be. You know what? That's pretty refreshing. That's not typical of what you hear nowadays. It's kind of like, arms up, look at me, MVP, woo.
Yep.
And for him to say, please, after this day, don't call me that again. You know, it's like, I want to get better. I don't want to rest on my laurels. And how great is that?
No, it's exceptional, and it's what makes him such a great player. And I bet he does have a whole nother level that he will get to. I think we haven't even seen the best of him yet.
I think that's right. And can you imagine James Harden saying, please don't call me MVP?
All right.
Just asking.
Well, the biggest surprise of the week was the Rockets trading for Russell Westbrook. And we were having dinner when that moment happened. Yes. It was a stunner. Our phones lit up. The trade went down. A deal that nobody really saw. Well, Mike D'Antoni got on a podcast this morning with Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, and
look at you just pulling out the names today.
Well,
nice.
Woj is an old colleague. I know him from the old days. And so his name I do know and can say. But it was interesting to hear what D'Antoni had to say about how Harden and Westbrook will play together.
If they want to make it work, they will make it work. And whether it takes a week or whether it takes a month, I don't know. But they will, okay, you know, I feel more comfortable doing this. Do you feel that? And I'm stepping on your toes here, but you're not squawking because, you know, it's like because they want to make it work. But if you don't want to make it work, first time you step on my feet, I've gone ballistic on you. So that's the difference dynamic. And again, I just saw it work in USA Basketball. You put all those talents together. They want to make it work. It doesn't matter. The more talent you have, the better it is. And I think right now with this, you know, duo and other people, it'll work.
Well, I think he just defined the role of an NBA coach. stand back and watch it happen. I don't think the players listen to coaches. I honestly don't. They make so much more money
right.
than the coach itself. And I think the coach is a bit of a figurehead in a lot of these teams, on a lot of these teams.
Well, this doesn't change that point. But what I do think D'Antoni's doing here, which is wise, is reminding these players, mm-hmm. it's on you guys
it's
to figure this
shoulders.
Out. I can't do this for you. You two need to get together and figure out how to play it. Now, he can define some roles. I think it would be wise to have Westbrook control the ball because Harden's a better spot-up three shooter. And if Westbrook drives and he draws a crowd and can dish it out to Harden, it's more likely Harden's going to make the three-point shot than if it were inverse. D'Antoni has to draw those things up. But these two guys need to play together, and he's going to count on them to make it work.
Well, and D'Antoni, really, he handled that question very, very well because I guarantee you he didn't have a say on who was coming. Hmm. This is a players' league. We've seen it. And D'Antoni himself doesn't have a contract pass this year. So he answered it the best that he could, and he's right. If they want it, it's going to happen. And basically, I don't have squat to do with it. But we know if there needs to be a scapegoat or a villain that's seen in all this, it will be D'Antoni if they don't have a winning season.
All right, we were talking earlier about rookie quarterbacks, who will play when, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, who's going to get on the field first. The one guy who really seems like he's going to start week one is Kyler Murray. And Larry Fitzgerald, Larry Legend in Arizona, really had high praise for the rookie quarterback, Kyler Murray. Let's hear what Larry Fitzgerald had to say.
Well, I think the combination of the two, I mean, his familiarity with the offense, coach runs the same offense he's running in Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley. So he's had a couple of years under that. Obviously, he had an unbelievable amount of success at Oklahoma running it. And so when he got here, I mean, he was already in the driver's seat in terms of his understanding of the concepts and where the ball's supposed to be going on every single play. And, I mean, he's getting us lined up and directing us to where we need to be going. And he's only been here, you know, 3-4 weeks. So it bodes well for us at that position. And, you know, obviously the physical attributes speak for themselves.
Pretty nice endorsement.
Yeah, it is. And to get it from Larry Fitzgerald, who is not only a great receiver, but a class act, a guy who has really performed well at a high level. He's the elder statesman there. And for him to endorse Kyler Murray and to highlight that Kyler Murray really is advanced in his knowledge of the offense is a real endorsement.
And that he's a leader by already taking charge and calling some audibles.
Yep.
I mean, it's more than his talent. So hopefully for the Cardinals, we hope Larry Fitzgerald is right.
All right, the last one here. Well, the Madden rankings have come out, and I know you're a big esports player.
Yeah, I'm a big Madden person. I love me some Madden.
He's love great. Madden. And really, the rankings created a lot of chatter.
Yeah, they did.
It also upset in the wide receiver rankings. Keenan Allen of the Chargers was not happy with how he ranked, and this is what he had to say.
And I just want to start this video off by saying I will not be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. 60. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this shit? Dog, wait, who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69. Like, I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game. Pro Bowl back to back. 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
Well, as he said, come on, dog. How can that be?
I love the way he handled this.
Uh-huh.
He's hilarious.
Yes, he is.
He has a future in stand-up.
Well, he might. It's a short video. He's driving his car. You can hear all the other cars in the background. I hope he actually stopped his car. He wasn't just driving and talking, but he had a lot to say about his ranking in Madden.
He even said sip tea when he took a drink of his tea.
There so, it is.
Yeah, he narrated well.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss,
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is my favorite segment. I get to talk about what I've learned from you over the last couple of hours. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Major League Baseball on track for a record number of home runs. You say there's something different about the ball.
Yes, and I'm not complaining. I like it.
I sensed that you think Robert Kraft dates women who are too young for him.
Yes.
Fair enough. I sense that you don't understand why men always say that they like to see women fight.
Super confused by that one.
Fair enough.
Mars and Venus. That's all I can say.
Another point of confusion for you is, though, your very natural instinct is to defend anything that has to do with the Raiders. With Richie Incognito, you were struggling to defend what he did in the funeral home last week.
He needs to remain incognito off the field, do his stuff on.
Fair enough. When we think about the NFL season, you like to keep it at 16 games. You don't want it going to 18.
I do not. Keep it special. Keep people wanting more.
The Greek Freak. You like the way he's handling his MVP trophy. He says, we're not going to talk about it anymore. I'm going for another one next year.
Humility is foxy. I love it.
And here at Gao Media, SB Nation Radio, you're quite comfortable that we've just given you the franchise tag.
Oh, I'm all about being tagged.
You want to be the next Kirk Cousins.
Tag, I'm it.
Pretty good. So I learned all that from you. You were saying in the break, oh, I don't know what you could have learned. I mean, that's an amazing list of items.
I don't feel I'm as on my game tonight, darn.
You offered up
a crazy weekend
all
in NYC,
those
so
pearls of wisdom.
The blackout got to me.
Whew. All right, when we come back, well, we will not be here, but Alex Gold will be here. He's the gold standard. Be sure to continue to listen. It will be Alex Gold next here on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.